Shalom, and welcome to this special Shofar Ministries Hour. We're live right here on 1220 AM Christian Radio, and we're live on the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host tonight with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. This show can be listened to later this week on our website. So anything we say and you want to check it out, go back and listen to it on shofarministries.net. And tonight, I'm going to join in on the news, and because not only is this, you know, Passover and everything else, there's a lot to talk about. And blood moon, including the blood moon, but more than that, But we're going to open our program tonight by thanking God for his deliverance from the bondage of sin, his deliverance of us from our own personal Egypts. Amen. So, Abba, Father, we just want to thank you again for the opportunity to bring the truth of your word to our listeners, the awesome prophecy of your word that sets us on fire for you, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for that. We don't need to be afraid in these times. We don't need to have fear. We just need to keep our eyes focused on you. And by your Holy Spirit, allowing you to work in our lives through the study of your word. I do want to lift up to tonight to you, Lord, all the calls and prayer requests that came in this past week. I lift up Christian marriages to you. Christians who are selling their homes, Lord, they need help. They need to sell their homes. It's a very, very precarious situation for some of these folks. They need to sell their homes, and we just ask for you to expedite whatever it takes to sell their homes. Lord, also it was brought to our attention that there is a virus going through nursing homes right now, and I guess I don't know if it's deadly, but it's certainly very harmful, and it's infecting many people, and many of the elderly, and many of those who work taking care of the elderly, Lord. So we want to ask your intervention, especially for those who are your people who are working in these nursing homes. And finally, I do want to pray for rain in Israel. We're supposed to pray for rain at various times, I know, but this time in particular, the rain is very much needed. And Lord, we just ask in your mercy that you will honor your word and answer our prayers, because you're the only one that we can rely on to do this. And we pray and we ask and we thank you all in the name of Yeshua, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and shalom to you.
There's a lot to pray about.
I know. Yes. And this is very Holy Week, a memorial of what Christ did for us.
This Passover week, exactly.
And I'd like to take this moment to remind our listeners that your end-time Bible questions can be emailed to me, Sheila at shofarministries.net, or you can call and leave a detailed message, and I will answer either on the air, or you can email, or I might even just return your phone call. Either way, feel free to ask those questions. And the lines are open right now. Should you want to call in and have a question tonight,
anything
on the Lord's feast or an end-time question.
What is that number?
That number is 888-677-WORD. 888-677-WORD.
Got that. Toll-free. Hey, before we get to the news, which I get to help you on tonight, the blood moon did happen.
It did.
And because of rain in the Cleveland area, we were not able to see it. Now, go figure.
I was so disappointed. I can't tell you.
But you live in Cleveland. Come on.
I know. Yeah. I did get a picture, though. Someone sent me a picture from Florida, and it was beautiful. I think I sent that to you.
You did. Yeah. You did.
And the main thing is, though, that it did occur.
Right. Yeah.
And the next one is exactly 6 lunar months away on the Feast of Tabernacles, October 8th. So what happens between now and then is anybody's guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to every day. So watch out.
So what should we expect from now that we've seen this first in a tetrad of blood moons? We've seen this first sign. What do you think we might be looking at over the next few
weeks or years? As I said last
week, years?
And by the way, welcome back since you weren't here last week.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Oh, and I got to thank you to Kent for filling in and doing a wonderful job,
yes,
too.
Did.
He's a great pinch hitter.
He hit a
triple, maybe even a home run.
Yes, and as you said, he hopes that you don't not come back any other time.
Oh,
he was nervous, but he did a great job.
He did.
So anyway, many other signs as well are pointing to me anyway, some kind of war.
Absolutely.
Probably this year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be, though. It could be next year, but either in the Middle East, like Psalm 83, as we've been talking about for so long, or in the Ukraine, which is really heating up, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, as we have been saying, the global elite, or the powers that be, they have been calling for another war. They want a third world war, or at least, at the very least, some catastrophic event to bring in the one world order that even the Bible predicts will happen. So we've got them saying it and the Bible saying it. I think that's probably a pretty good
not only the one world order
proclamation.
not only this one world order, but the person that will be ruling it, this king that will be ruling this whole one world order.
Right. Well, that's how we know it's a one world order, because the king, this Antichrist, will be.
It's the Antichrist.
Ruling all.
Oh, for a short time, anyway.
But we won't be here for that.
That's right. We won't be. Well, okay, Sheila. What's the latest with Israel? Let's take this one.
Well, by the way, thanks for praying for the rain, because they face an almost unprecedented water crisis. And perhaps, I don't know, I'm just saying, perhaps because they keep negotiating with their enemy, which they should not be doing as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They just seem to jump aboard another roller coaster. They're going for another ride. The peace negotiations, last I heard, were back again.
Gosh, it's kind of like arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, isn't it, at this point?
Yeah. Now, Pollard, of course, is that spy that has been in America.
Jonathan Pollard.
For so long. He's a huge carrot for Israel. And the Palestinians' terrorist prisoners being released, of course, is the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the two major factors. But Netanyahu placed some pretty heavy sanctions on Abbas a few weeks ago. And that's probably the real reason why the talks are back on.
Mm-hmm. Once again, yeah.
Israel has agreed to release, unfortunately, 420 imprisoned terrorists.
Wow. Wasn't it only 26 that were originally agreed on the fourth release?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
That's why, and it didn't work with 26. How's it going to work with releasing 420?
That's what Abbas wants, to sit down again and resume talks. And as well, he wants those sanctions lifted that Netanyahu put on them of $115 million per month in tax deductions. They froze that.
Oh.
Which means they would have to pay that.
Mm.
And, of course, these sanctions were imposed on the Palestinians for applying to the U.N. for membership, which they weren't supposed to do while in
negotiations. No, they did an end run around the peace talks there. Yeah.
So Israel has now agreed to suspend the freeze, but the Palestinians must suspend all unilateral moves for gaining international recognition. So that seems to be what they have agreed on.
And maybe stop firing rockets over into the south.
Yeah, well, that's not.
Throw that in there.
That's not on the table, but
no,
it should be.
It should be.
And what most people forget about, and more than likely why Abbas really wants the terrorist free. Do you know why?
Money.
Always seems to come down to that.
Yes,
Follow the money.
Follow the money.
Well, here, and again, I think people probably don't remember this, but the terrorists actually get lots of money, and I'm talking a lot, and I forgot to write the number down, and I don't want to guess, but it's quite a bit from the Palestinian leadership for committing these terror acts that lands them in jail.
Right.
So in other words, mm-hmm. it's bad enough for you to land in jail. We're going to pay you and your family.
Right. They pay your family, goes right into their bank accounts.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So for the leadership not having to pay these terrorists because they're in jail, that's one of the reasons they want them released. Saves them megabucks.
Saves the Palestinian Authority or the Palestinians money, not Israel. But, okay, if they're getting paid a month's wages, if that was like $3,000 or $4,000 a month, times 420 prisoners?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. Oh, okay.
So, and I'm sure that Netanyahu is being pressured then by the United States to do it.
Always.
So that
always.
I'll sit down again.
Yeah.
However, Netanyahu has a major problem with this.
Hmm.
The Jewish Home Party of Naftali Bennett says it will leave the coalition if the terrorists are released. And that could collapse the government, and they would have to go to early elections.
Well, sounds like they better get to them, if you know what I mean.
They better do something, because I don't think they want to have to go through all that.
No, it's just...
So it will just have to watch and see this coaster as it continues to climb.
Now, let's switch gears a little bit here. What about Ukraine? Russia continues to take these cities in the east one at a time.
One at a time, and he's getting them, too. Also, a Russian fencer fighter.
Fencer fighter?
That's what it's called. It's an airplane, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Has made close-range passes near a United States ship in the Black Sea, and they hovered for around 90 minutes, and this was on Saturday, causing spiraling tensions, but the aircraft flew within 1,000 yards of the ship.
Ooh, that's 3 football fields.
I mean, that's not very long. Whose commanders considered the actions provocative and issued several radio warnings. Thank goodness no shots were fired, but there is a conference in Geneva scheduled for Thursday between United States and Russia, and also the EU and the Ukrainians will be there as well.
Okay. So, well, something may or may not be resolved. We'll have to see. We had a blood moon last night.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Syria. Let's go to Syria now. I've heard that the United States, we're now openly begun to help the rebels.
Yes.
Is this true?
Yes.
And the rebels have now joined up with Al-Qaeda.
Uh-huh.
And they have some heavy anti-tank missiles and pretty advanced missiles, I hear.
Yes, we gave them to them. So we're giving supplies
to
Al-Qaeda.
We're supplying Al-Qaeda. Well, that's a great thing.
Right, because they joined with the rebels against Assad.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, these heavy anti-tank advanced missiles is capable of piercing Syrians' tank armor and their fortifications that have a range of like 2.5 miles.
That's
really strong.
That's a big shell.
Yes.
Yeah.
However, supposedly, Kerry made a commitment to Russia a few weeks back, who's Assad's ally, of course, that we would not supply the rebels with these handheld anti-aircraft missiles, which is, I guess, even more powerful.
Mm.
And I say openly, because I think they were giving these rebels...
They're arming them. They're arming them secretly.
Secretly before, and I think that's what Benghazi was mostly about. Thank you for helping you with my words there.
I know. Isn't this intrigue something?
Yes, it is. It really is intrigue. You know, it's amazing because people buy all these books that are, intriguing books and everything, and I'm thinking, gosh, all I have to do is just try to stay ahead of what's going on in the world. That's intriguing to me.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. What I was going to say is we're also seeing Al-Qaeda moving into the northern and eastern Iraq now as well.
Okay, so Iraq's in the mix now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Counterterrorism sources describe armed Al-Qaeda fighters in uniforms.
Uniforms?
Can you imagine? Terrorists in uniform?
Terrorists in uniform.
But yes, brown military fatigues and are going around Baghdad distributing candy to children with notes attached to invite their parents to attend repentance rites, which are really just oaths of adherence to Al-Qaeda.
Hmm.
And they have already, as as well taken many cities on the eastern border with Iran.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've got Russia taking a bunch of cities. We've got Al-Qaeda taking a bunch of cities over there. And
Al-Qaeda armed by the U.S., by the way,
yeah,
taking cities. And they have uniforms. I wonder who's buying their uniforms. You think it might be us? Somebody's got to be doing that. Al-Qaeda is a terrorist group, and they're known for being plainclothes terrorists. You know, there seem to be an organized army.
That's right. And like I said, we've known for a while that the original Syrian rebels, this was when the civil war just started,
yeah, mm-hmm,
had to join Al-Qaeda or they would lose.
Yeah.
So that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out that these local Syrian fighters were also trained by American instructors at a camp in southern Jordan.
Hmm. Well, then it really is no surprise that they're doing the handing out candy and wearing uniforms, which is something you hear about our military doing a lot.
Yeah. So. But, of course, these armies now are getting much bigger now, mm-hmm, and some news sources like Debka File are reporting that now the Americans are back in Iraq.
Oh.
Only now they are not the U.S. soldiers, per se, but jihadi fighters of Al-Qaeda fighting to overrun Iraq and establish an Islamist, mostly Sunni, state there.
Hmm.
They are pushing towards Baghdad right now after seizing the western provinces on the border of Iran.
Yes, and they are heading for Baghdad, and I think they're going to lay siege to the city of Baghdad because they've cut the water supply from Baghdad. And the way they did that was, of course, you know, Baghdad's on the Euphrates River.
That's right.
They found a way to divert the flow of the river, and it's dried up.
Yes, I actually have a picture of it dried up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there it is.
I see it. So that's a tactic that you use when you have a city under siege.
That's right.
You cut off their water supply.
And doesn't it kind of remind you of in the book of Revelation where it says they will come through the Euphrates, and it's so easy now to dry it up, and it has something to do with blocking the dam or something or diverting.
Yeah, they'll come across the Euphrates and on dry land.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
So anyway. Al-Qaeda jihadists show their faces openly now. They're not afraid of any kind of security, even in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, there are many splinter groups. Okay, they're smaller splinter groups. I mean, lots of them.
Uh-huh.
But Al-Qaeda's operational arm in Iraq fields more Western fighters than any other of its branches.
Wow.
We call them nationals of the United States, Canada, the UK, France, Holland, Belgium and Italy, they all have their men involved.
Wow, I had no idea. I wonder they have our sanction, or they have our permission, the United States permission, soldiers to...
Obviously.
Or are they mercenaries? I don't know.
No, I'm sure the United States has given permission, as well as the governments of Canada, UK, France, Holland, Belgium, and Italy. They know about it.
Okay.
But they probably get paid well.
Probably.
You know.
It's all about money when you get down to it.
Yeah. Western intelligence watchers have never established who exactly gave the order for an estimated 3,500 Al-Qaeda fighters to migrate from Syria into Iraq. So,
mm-hmm.
But remember, President Maliki of Iraq,
Maliki
is a Shia.
Mm-hmm.
Obama sides with the Sunnis as well as Saudi Arabia.
Hmm.
So when Maliki recently asked Obama for help to fight Al-Qaeda, guess Obama said.
Yeah, well, that's easy now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, no.
No way. No
so,
way.
No
He's
way.
He's not going to help them.
Well, you know, so things that happen in Syria, you know, like the recent report of more chemical weapons being used, it could have been one of those many groups that we blame it on.
Yes.
And we blame it on Assad
well,
in case... You know, we finally want to invade. We need that reason there.
That's
handy.
Right. And
you know,
we don't really know who's doing it.
We never do. And so much of the news or the videos coming out of there is staged. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So.
Like so many other things.
Like so many other things.
We don't even want to get into that now.
Yeah, let's not go down that. We have a program to do after news. Remember?
And you know, just remember, it's all about timing. And when the powers that be decides when they want World War III to begin, it'll begin.
That's right. That's
the bottom line. You got it.
Well, what about, let's see, let's just have enough time to
switch
do this.
Switch gears again.
Switch gears again. That old Malaysian jetliner, you still don't think it crashed in the Indian Ocean?
No way. No way, Jose. And our government knows where it is. As I said last week, probably American military base in Diego Garcia, which is in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, it's a small atoll or island or something,
island.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you talked about that on last week's show with Kent.
I did.
And that's archived on our website.
It is.
Yes. Okay.
About leaving us with some good news before
we
get into the
program. Yeah, here is some good news. According to Israel Times, more rabbis are reconsidering Jesus.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
That is a great, great way to leave that horrible news.
It wasn't horrible. I find it kind of interesting.
Well, it is interesting.
It's stimulating.
Well, and you know, what I try to do is I try to put it in words that just us normal people can understand. You know, just keep it as simple as possible and yet, you know, leave out all the details and just say, well, okay, this is what's going on.
I'd say if I had to wrap the whole thing up, I'd say that the world right now is a tinderbox.
Yeah.
And it just needs a spark to
That's
go
right.
up into a major conflagration. How do you like that word?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Last week we concentrated on Palm Sunday and Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we'll finish by teaching on the Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits. Mm-hmm. Those are called the Spring Feasts.
Okay. And can we have a quick review from that?
Well, maybe just a few words. First, I had to tell you, I just got to say this. I had a real visual this past Palm Sunday. Some might have seen it when the Pope was riding on the open Popemobile as the people were waving palm branches. And I wondered what he might have been thinking.
I'm just glad he wasn't on a donkey.
Yeah.
And I wonder what the people...
That would have been a little obvious.
Yes, that would have. I wonder what the people waving the palm branches were thinking on that
Yeah,
one.
Well... Anyhow, let's go on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, last evening began Passover until sundown today, and now it is starting the 7 days of unleavened bread, also referred to as the 8 days of Passover or Passover week. So either way is acceptable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With the Sunday during this week, it's also called the morrow after the Shabbat, is the first fruits, always on a Sunday, and so is... we call it the Resurrection Day.
Resurrection Sunday, Sunday being the first day of the week, right?
That's right.
And then counting seven Sabbaths plus one day brings you to Pentecost Sunday. Likewise,
That's always on a Sunday.
That's always on a Sunday, too.
According to the Bible.
According to the Bible, and yeah.
Okay, and I just want to make mention that we follow the Bible, but during the Dark Ages, the Jews stopped... recognize the Sunday rule from Leviticus 23 and instead count from Nisan 15, which is unleavened bread, which just makes it not a particular day of the week of Sunday.
I see. That's all. So do we know why that happened? Or?
Not really, but some surmise that maybe they didn't like associating it with Jesus' resurrection that the Christians were proclaiming happened on the Feast of First Fruits on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the Sunday then.
Oh, yeah, and today begins unleavened bread, of course, for seven more days. Yeah, and I'm sure that the Jewish leadership, the Jesus that the Christians at that time were showing them or presenting to them was somebody that they wouldn't want to be associated with.
Possibly,
yes. So, once again, if we have we've got probably some new listeners tonight. We do every week, you know. Can we go over why the feasts are important for Christians,
well,
for us to understand?
Sure.
You know?
The major reason, and there's many breathtaking reasons, actually, but to me as an end-time teacher and from my perspective, the main reason is that it will help you better understand the end-time scenario. And that really does. That opened up so much for me.
Well, yeah. Well, could you be a little more specific?
Okay. Well, just because he came the first time and literally kept and fulfilled the exact dates, and actually they're called appointments of the Lord.
He meaning Yeshua, our Savior. Mm-hmm.
And he became that lamb that bore all the sins of the world, should you accept it.
Mm.
Therefore, it just stands to reason that his second arrival, because he said he's coming back, will be during the fall feast and literally fulfill the last three.
Okay, well, that, you know, the way you put it there makes it really a no-brainer.
Elegantly put. Really good. Yes, it really is. I mean, what, and especially once you look into it and it the light goes off and you see it, you think, oh, my, this has been here all along, and I've never seen it, never, nobody's told me about it.
Hidden there right before you, hidden in front of your eyes.
20 years ago this was, but I was just totally shocked.
I know.
Just, anyway.
I feel sorry for us, that little sheep that have had the wool pulled over our eyes for so long so we couldn't see our Hebrew roots.
I know. I know. They're still being pulled over, a lot of people. But anyway, as we read last week, let's read it again since you weren't here, John.
Okay, this is a great chapter in Leviticus that you recommend that all of us read.
Oh, yeah.
From Leviticus 23, I'm going to read verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts, moed, that's the Hebrew word, it's 4150 in your Strong, should you have one, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, mikra, that's 4744, if you're keeping track in your Strongs, means rehearsal gatherings, these are my feast appointments. So the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts.
That's right.
So we have appointments and rehearsal gatherings.
That's right. Mm. And before we get really into Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits, I think we're going to play that marvelous song.
Oh, Via Dolorosa?
Yes, since we're getting ready to talk about the Passover, which, of course, what Jesus had, and then carried his cross down the streets of Via Dolorosa, which, by the way, I walked on. And the original is underneath. By the way, you go down these steps and walk underneath on the original pavement.
And take the same path that Yeshua did with, oh, wow.
Yes, it's pretty moving.
That sounds very moving.
And I don't want to pass up the opportunity by and not play the song that I'd love to play every year.
It's so beautifully sung, and it's by a pastor that we know and love, and it's his daughter, who's Amy.
Sapphira. Yes.
It used to be... Well, she just got married, so...
Well, she's been a few years now.
No, okay.
Time flies, John.
Yeah, it has. We've been doing this for a few years.
I think she has two children now, but anyway, let's go for it.
All righty. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Beautiful song. Via Dolorosa. That was Amy Safera, local talent. And just want to welcome you back. And we're... Don't make that noise again. I want to remind you, the phone lines are open. And the number is 888-677-WORD. If you should like to call in with a question about our subject tonight, end times prophecy. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? You can contact her directly just by emailing her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call her at the office, 440-834-9006, and please leave a detailed message.
Yes, please, between 9 and 5. No nighttime calls. Anyway, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you are being blessed by this program and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
That's right. And we can do advertising for your company, too, on this program as
right.
well. Right.
We can.
Yeah. Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter list. So include your email or your house address.
That's right. Okay. And remember, the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, or Route 306 in Chesterland.
That's right. Close to I-90 and close to 271.
Close to everything.
Close to everything.
Begins at 7.
Yes. And the next one coming up, I think we'll have Melanie with us.
Okay.
We'll open up with Messianic music.
Of course.
Okay, we left off with the spring
Passover.
Feasts.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to briefly give a brief description.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nisan 14, or actually in the Bible it's called Aviv. Nisan actually is the Babylonian name that was given to when they were in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
But they go by Nisan now, and that is the Feast of Passover. And historically,
the blood was put on the doorpost, and it spared the families from the death of the firstborn when the death angel went through Egypt.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It was the blood that spared them.
Yes.
And, of course, Jesus' death on the cross,
which occurred at the same hour that the lamb was killed.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but... Mm-hmm.
And he put his blood on the cross so that we are spared the Sabbath.
Very interesting, isn't it?
And then we go to the next day, which is Nisan 15, but that lasts for a week, so it's the 15th through the 21st,
mm-hmm.
and it's called the Week of Unleavened Bread,
mm-hmm.
and it's during this week that no leaven can be in the body or in the house for 7 days, and of course, leaven is always a picture of sin. And you can read about that as well in Leviticus 23, verse 6. But historically, what happened on the Feast of Unleavened Bread?
The Unleavened Bread, or the Feast of Matzah. Well, let's see. Historically, that was when the children of Israel, Moses led them out of Egypt, right?
He did.
Yep. And they had no time to let the dough raise. They had to get out quickly.
That's right.
And so...
And God had a purpose in that.
Well,
because
yeah.
Because he wanted the bread to be unleavened.
Unleavened.
Be a picture of Jesus who was unleavened without sin.
I agree. Actually.
And what finally...
God changed Pharaoh's mind
yes.
to let them go. It was like 10 plagues against Pharaoh, against really Egypt's gods.
That's right.
And, you know, that's history. But in some coming history, in the book of Revelation, I think we find that there are similar plagues, if
that's
not
right.
the exact same ones that are coming, that will come
pretty
again.
Pretty much exact same ones. They're all dusted through the book of Revelation.
Oh, wow.
Starting in, oh gosh, they're in chapter 6, 9, 16, mostly in those three chapters, but they're there.
And how? And of course, the unleavened bread, sinless, and our Savior, Yeshua, sinless. And how did he fulfill
well,
that?
He was actually put into the grave, buried on unleavened bread.
Oh, okay.
So he took our sins to the grave.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So they were freed from slavery. We are freed from the slavery to sin.
Okay. Two down. Two down.
Okay. Then the Feast of First Fruits, of course, is always the day after the Sabbath during Passover week. Originally, it was Nisan 17, but the date does change.
The date changes because it always has to be on the first day of the week or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's right.
And historically, this is when they crossed the Red Sea.
They did.
And the waters parted. They crossed the Red Sea.
They crossed through the Red Sea, huh?
Yes. They actually, their walls were, it says in the Bible, the walls of the sea were stacked up.
Like, I can't even imagine
the sea
that.
Was stacked up like walls on either
yes,
side of
I
them.
Yes, I know.
So if they wanted to get a fish and one was near the wall, they could
yeah,
grab
right,
it,
just,
okay?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but that represented a new beginning.
Sure
and
did.
It also, the sea closed back over Pharaoh's army and the chariots, right. and so that was their enemy. Destroyed.
That's right. And of course, Pharaoh was a picture of the Antichrist, and in Revelation 13, the Antichrist comes up out of the sea.
Ah. Well, that's yet to happen. But what? How did Jesus fulfill this feast?
Of course, he rose from the dead on the
Absolutely.
Feast of the first fruits,
yeah.
and he is the feast. He is the first fruits.
And because of that, we can rise with him.
That's right. And the enemy was defeated. He's defeated foe. Okay, he's got limited powers. Actually, the church should utilize more of their power against the enemy because we have it, but we have a tendency of not using the power, and a lot of it is because we aren't in our word as much, and so we don't feel that power that we have against the enemy, but we have it.
We do. We really do. And then, of course, that brings us to Pentecost, but we don't really have time to go over that now. We'll be doing a program on that in the summer in
we
June.
Will.
Yeah. And Pentecost is just a word that means 50, and it's 50 days from the Feast of First Fruits, and it's always on the first day of the week, Sunday.
That's right.
And that was fulfilled historically by giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, and then fulfilled by Yeshua sending the Holy Spirit on the exact same day
which on the Hebrew calendar was Sivan 6.
Sivan 6,
by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in a few months,
yeah.
and I need for you, John, if you don't mind, to read 1 Corinthians 15:20-23.
Okay. Let's see, I got it.
Talk about the resurrection.
Okay. This is Paul writing.
Yes.
But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming.
So how fitting that Christ rose on this feast day when they would offer the first fruits of the barley harvest to God.
Very fitting.
Anyhow, this Sunday, our Feast of First Fruits, is also the same Sunday this year as the pagan holiday called Easter from the goddess Ishtar, which does happen sometimes.
What, they fall on the same
yes.
date? Yeah.
But let's be sure as Christians, real Christians, that we differentiate appropriately and wisely by explaining the truth to all who would listen.
Yes, pay attention to that, to all who listen.
Yeah.
And right, and Wasn't Easter celebrated by the pagans way before our Savior rose from the dead? It was well-established.
Yes, it was. And actually, it was Constantine that wanted to combine the two to please everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they still hold to the pagan date of the Sunday after the full moon during the spring equinox.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Feast of the Resurrection, which occurs on the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread, although it sometimes matches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, sometimes it does fall on the same Sunday like this year, but sometimes it's a week off, as it will be next year. And there are times when it's actually been a month off.
Wow.
A few years ago, it was actually 30 days apart.
So let me ask you a question. Would Jesus celebrate Easter?
I knew you were going to ask that. No.
I knew that was the answer.
Not on your life. He celebrated Passover. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8 even told us not to mix truth with leaven. And I think bunnies is the leaven. But instead to keep Passover with sincerity. So let us as true Christians remember the Passover season, particularly the Feast of First Fruits, on the Sunday during Passover week, and forget the rabbits and remember the memorial of his resurrection.
And what about those eggs?
You know, actually, I don't have a problem with the eggs, as long as you don't say the rabbit laid them. Rabbits don't lay eggs anyway, or even brought them, actually.
I'm sure this isn't news to our listeners.
No, no.
It might be. I don't know. But I don't think so.
The egg was even added by the Jews to the Passover Seder plate because it represented new life out of bondage.
Mm-hmm. They also burned the egg, too, to represent the destruction of the temple, too.
That's right. And for Christians who do a Seder meal, as we usually do, then we teach the egg as the we use the Trinity analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's just a beautiful
analogy.
So you're
saying the egg can be turned into good.
Absolutely.
Right, yeah. So how about putting scripture verses inside plastic eggs? What about that?
Yes, you know, the kids like so much to find those eggs. I hate to take that away from them, but let's turn it into good.
Yeah.
Let's have scripture verses in these eggs.
You got to start somewhere.
And let's maybe decorate them with crosses and pictures of lambs. And then maybe when they get the scripture, they can memorize it, and the first one who memorizes it gets a great chocolate lamb.
Not a bunny, a lamb.
No.
A lamb.
A lamb. So, again, you can change it into what, of course, Satan wants to pervert everything.
Yeah, just leave the rabbits out of it and teach the children truthfully.
That's right.
Because when you read Leviticus 23 and you read the surrounding passages in the Bible that deal with the Passover, it is so that you can teach your children.
Absolutely.
So that
they
will
important.
Ask you why you are doing these
That's
things.
That's right.
And that's right. A great, well, we'll get into that later.
Maybe not. No.
Okay, maybe you won't have time.
I'm teasing.
Oh, I hope.
What else occurred on the date of Nisan 17 representing new life, John? This is kind of important.
You're asking me.
Okay. Yeah, I am.
Okay. Through the Red Sea, children of Israel.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, they did.
Through the Red Sea, Nisan 17.
That was on Nisan 17? Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. According to my teachers, it is. Noah's Ark rested
yes,
on
it
Nisan
did.
17.
Mm-hmm.
And the evil Haman, remember him from the book of Esther, was hung. And, of course, we taught on that, hung by the neck or whatever. We taught on that last
month. For Purim, yeah.
Yeah. And dates do seem to be significant.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
So many times things happen on significant dates, like the night of Av, and there's so many.
Yes, and it's good to know these things.
Pretty amazing.
You know, here's a question that many Christians have asked, and they don't ask outright. They'll be asking themselves, should I celebrate the feast? So should Christians celebrate the feast?
Well, I say, of course, it's not an obligation. We have total freedom now.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, at the very least, recognize them, especially if you have children. For it's a very valuable teaching.
Yeah,
so
at least
you
do
just,
that.
As you just said, especially concerning even the prophecy and the two comings of Christ.
Yeah, that's a huge faith builder of his return. And it's really a necessity if you have children just to understand the substance of God's plan. In other words, the why and the where and the how of God's plan.
Yeah. You know, John, I hate to admit this, I suppose, but I was kind of angry, and I felt as though I was cheated by my religion, both Catholic and even later as a born-again believer, that this was not explained or was it wasn't even mentioned to me, actually, about these extremely important appointments that God made with the whole world, should anybody just want to have them. They're there.
They're there. And, you know, his sheep are still ignoring them today because they've had their wool pulled over their eyes to their Hebrew roots of their faith, you know.
I know.
So should we take fault with the pastors as well?
Well, partly, but I also blame the people for when they hear about them from others, they are not insisting that their pastor gets informed about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if enough churchgoers would request the teaching, at least they might bring in others if they didn't know the teaching that had the adequate, you know, knowledge to teach their people.
Now, I know some people that will actually come out to your church. I know one person that will come out to your church and
teach that. You betcha.
You know what? I've even done that.
Yeah.
We've both done it.
Well,
absolutely. And there are more people than us that do that, too. So.
That's right. So.
You don't have an excuse now.
There you go, people. Okay, let's look at a scripture in Colossians 2, 6 through 8.
Okay. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ.
And there you have it. I just felt that I was cheated. And there's a scripture to back that up. So,
well,
but yeah, Easter bunnies and Santa Claus definitely fits that description.
Basic,
traditions of men.
Yeah, and basic principles of the world. Sheila, did you bring your notes about what that man who wrote the Two Babylons, that book, The Two Babylons, said about Easter?
Oh, you mean Alexander Hislop?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that right on the tip of your tongue.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. He actually heavily explored the origins of Easter in his book called The Two Babylons.
Mm-hmm.
And the English word Easter originates from Babylon, Astarte, one of the titles for the Queen of Heaven.
Queen of Heaven.
And we've talked about this before.
We've talked about the Queen of Heaven before.
We sure have. The Chaldeans called her Ishtar, and the Syrian Venus was called Asheroth, different names for the same goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's in the Bible, Asheroth as well.
Now, King Jamesers say in Acts 12:4 in the King James version of the Bible, it uses the word Easter instead of Passover.
I was shocked when I
Were
saw
you?
That. Yeah, because it's supposed to say Pesach.
I know.
And but thank the Lord that the great New King James fixed it.
It did. Did the New King James fix it?
I guess most of them did, actually.
Yeah, I know. And you got to remember, too, that when you say Passover, you are referring a lot of times, and to this day, you're referring to the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just not a particular day. That's just in case you wanted to argue with us about that.
Well, Passover is just the 14th. It's Feast of Unleavened Bread is the next.
Technically, but
you got it.
The way it plays out in real life is the whole thing
they
is
call
called
it,
Passover.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what was that? What was that?
Oh, anyway.
Anyway.
The Babylonians held a festival each spring to memorialize the supposedly yearly death at the end of fall and the resurrection of Tammuz in the early spring for centuries before Christ came, utilizing decorated eggs at the time of the spring equinox.
Yeah, and the equinox is when night and day are of equal length, fell on March 20th this year.
That's right. And eventually rabbits came to be linked, for they represent fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And it was told to the children that the Easter Bunny brought the eggs, even though rabbits have never laid eggs.
And weren't these ancient fertility rites that were observed to the goddess of Ishtar immoral and full of sorcery and stuff like that?
Yes, and Easter eggs were common in all the heathen nations. A fable I read was about the egg, is that an egg of wondrous size fell from heaven into the Euphrates. The fish rolled it to the bank of the river where doves settled upon it, hatched it, and out came Astarte or Ishtar, the goddess of Easter. The point I really want to bring home here is the fact that Easter was always a separate celebration by the pagans from way back in the Old Testament, where as the resurrection of Christ on the Feast of First Fruits was a different celebration, both by the Jews and then the Christians, till the time of Constantine in 312 A.D.
Hmm.
With his questionable conversion to Christianity,
yeah, it is questionable,
and his desire for all to be one, or off with your head, more or less, But he compromised with the pagans and combined these two feasts, as well as others like Christmas, into one and called it Easter, to be held on the Sunday after the full moon from the spring equinox. And we got it in. We're almost out of time. We got to go. How about saying the blessing?
Okay. We're that close.
I think we are.
Are we?
One minute.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing tonight, and also with a prayer for your own personal relationship with Yeshua. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And if you don't know Jesus, get on your knees right now. Say the prayer of repentance. Ask him into your heart. You too can be saved and go to heaven.
Amen. Until then, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper,
not a maybe.
That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Until next week, Shalom.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.